Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Jason, we'll begin with you this week. Church rules in New York. The governor offering some guidelines in this coronavirus era. No more than 10 allowed at a single time in the church building. Where I come from, we don't say that's church. We call that small group. But nonetheless, here we are. Your thoughts on these new regulations for churches in New York?
Well, you know, 10 is a pretty low number. I know homeschooling families, frankly, that's going to be their family alone that'll be attending church. So, you know, we've got some real concerns over what that's going to mean for churches going forward. There's at the crux of this a situation that has to be addressed, though, is who has the authority to call that congregation to assemble and to worship God. And that's the issue here. Is this the authority of the church to meet, or is it the authority of the governor to control this? If this were about a pandemic, I understand the public safety issues, but I'm growing increasingly concerned because I'm watching a daily press conference that has at least 20 people in the room exercising the right to free press. But those of us that look to exercise our religious rights of freedom and religious liberty are only permitted 10. So there does seem to be some hypocrisy here that while it's encouraging the governor is moving and responding to the faith community's concerns, he's just not going far enough, fast enough. So there is a grave concern. I know that an increasing number of churches have just said May 31st is the day that they're going to reopen their doors.
Interesting. I know Governor Wolf, Michael, in Pennsylvania has been taking it on the chin from a number of fronts, whether it be the businesses opening up or the state of nursing homes. But let's talk about the churches in Pennsylvania. What's going on there as we kind of come back from coronavirus?
Well, the state has been offering somewhat similar guidance to what has been happening in New York, but simply claiming it to be guidance. They have said that they really have no authority ultimately to tell churches what they can or can't do, that they are not going to be sending in law enforcement or those sorts of things is basically what the statements that they're making. So they have these guidelines. We at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and our Church Ambassador Network with Kurt Weaver have put together some guidance, some material on our website that talks about basically what the government guidelines are, but also that churches do have the liberty under the First Amendment to do what is wise and proper and what the Holy Spirit would lead them to do.
Yeah. Jason, there was an interesting op-ed piece in the New York Post today. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. The author basically daring stores and businesses to open their doors despite what the lockdown order of the day is. And it got me thinking, as a person of faith, what is your counsel to listeners right now, many of them small business owners who are just struggling to survive? Do they, for freedom's sake, defy these orders, or is this a render unto Caesar what is Caesar's moment? That's a delicate balancing act that a lot of people are undertaking these days.
Yeah, it's incredibly delicate, and frankly, the church issue is an easier one for me. I think it's a clearer constitutional issue. It's much more difficult with the businesses that are out there. And it is difficult because we are watching a governor that has essentially, you know, ground the economy to a halt in family businesses that are, many of them will never reopen after this pandemic. That's going to be extremely problematic. But if they open those doors, they have to be advised that they're going to be stiff and hefty fines, that when they stick their neck out there, they may be the one that is made an example of. And so there has to be some real caution there as businesses think about bucking against the government's orders regarding this issue.
Yeah, Michael, so many small businesses in Pennsylvania will sadly never open their doors again. One of the many tragedies to this crisis, the governor just this week vetoing several pieces of legislation legislation that would have given counties more control over how they do this. Representative Metcalf said that the governor's response to the virus has done more harm than the virus itself. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he's exactly right. There's so many different indicators that you can look at to point at. Number one, just the impact on the economy. You're talking about the business closings, et cetera. 27% of the workforce in Pennsylvania has now filed for jobless claims in our state. But then you look at the opioid addictions and the overdose deaths that are spiking and now skyrocketing, heading towards record numbers after several years of decline. That's another example of it. And then trust in government. People are increasingly not believing that the government has their best interest at heart and our governor has their best interest in heart. And that is really corrosive to trust in government and to our American way of life.
Let's talk about the nursing home crisis, another sidebar to this story. In New York State, Governor Cuomo at a press conference this week seemed to blame President Trump for the nursing home deaths in New York, saying he was just following the CDC guidelines that he was given. So, Jason, does the governor have a point here?
No. In fact, you can see the governor is getting more visibly agitated as that issue is raised. And, you know, the press has been pressing into that issue and helping the state to realize how serious this is. But that was a decision that was made by the Cuomo administration to allow those COVID-19 people into those nursing homes to go back into there. They could not turn people away that were COVID-19 under state law. And now 45 days later, that policy has been reversed. The governor refuses to apologize for that. He does not say it was wrong. It was simply a policy reversal. But you don't fix what ain't broke.
Yeah. Michael, Mike Terzai is the latest to come out and say something stinks in the state of Denmark here. That state, in this case, is Harrisburg, when it comes to the nursing home crisis there. You've got the health secretary moving her mom back in March. And Terzai says, we tried to get answers from Harrisburg for weeks leading up to this. Didn't get any. More than half of all the COVID-19 fatalities in that state are in nursing homes. Is it time for Secretary Levine to step down?
I think it is, especially with the track record that they have. I mean, there are some counties in Pennsylvania where 100% of the deaths from COVID are in nursing homes. I would encourage people to Google Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and see the response that they had with nursing homes. So much better, so much more responsive and saving lives there compared to New York and Pennsylvania. It's atrocious. It's really criminal when you think about the fact of these decisions resulting in so many deaths. We knew from the start, based on what happened in Washington State, that the elderly and in nursing homes were at risk, and this response has been atrocious, and I agree with the calls for the resignation of the secretary.
All right, I would be remiss if I did not ask the pastor here, the Reverend Jason McGuire, his thoughts on the passing of the late, great Ravi Zacharias. I love the line that he taught thinkers how to believe and believers how to think. A giant of the faith. Just share, if you would, a few moments, some reflections that you have on what this man meant to the Christian faith.
Well, you know, I'm reminded of the account where the woman came to him and said, Mr. Zacharias, whenever you speak, my brain hurts. And he reminded her, well, muscles that are never used get sore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that he was one that forced Christians to think about why they believe what they believe. For many years, our organization tried to schedule him as a speaker for our March annual event, but he always took that month off as a sabbatical. And so I think that the other thing to learn from his life is not just the intellectual, the apologetic faith that was there, but the balance as well, to realize that there is a time for us to pull aside, to draw aside, to renew for our ministry work. And there's a lesson for every pastor in that as well.
There sure is. We're going to miss him so much. And then, Michael, you had an event back on Monday, this online March for Life. Tell us how that went.
I thought it went great. We were supposed to have a March for Life in person, the first ever Pennsylvania March for Life on May 18th at the Capitol. But obviously with COVID, we're not able to pull that off. So we teamed with the March for Life organization in Washington, D.C. for this virtual log-in for life event with Abby Johnson, who's known for the Unplanned movie and the book by the same name. She was a Planned Parenthood clinic director who saw the light and now is helping people get out of that industry, and some other great speakers as well to encourage pro-life activism in our state. 2020 and the elections coming up are of vital significance and importance on the sanctity of life, and it's our intent with that webinar and going forward to spur pro-life activity in Pennsylvania.
All right. With that said, you do have information on your website about those voter guides. We'll talk more about this next week. But where can folks get that voter guide in Pennsylvania, Michael?
If they find our website at pafamily.org, there'll be a link to it there.
All right. For more information on the good work going on at New Yorkers, Jason, where can folks find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.